Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast. This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
The world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast. This is the Beast Unleashed podcast brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, DFG and Mike, and I'm joined by Pecan Court BotCon Michael and Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today we'll be covering three more episodes of Beast Wars Season 2. Really quick, this is going to be a quick intro it's going to be a quick intro. Michael went to BotCon. We just finished recording, as of this, we finished recording the BotCon post-show for All Things Transformers. And he had a chance to briefly talk with Scott McNeil, yet he did not ask for an interview for this show. What the hell, dude? Come on.
I did tell him. I did get a short audio clip, which was nice of him to do for us, considering that the BotCon guys were right there telling us to move the line along as quickly as possible. I did take up a good 3 minutes of his time, and I did mention, hey, we've been trying to reach you on Facebook, and he said, I know, but I get so much chatter on Facebook that it scrolls by too quickly and I never see it. So I mean, he acknowledged that,
I sent him a couple of messages on Facebook. So unless people constantly send him messages on Facebook, I mean, I sent him a couple of private messages on Facebook. I didn't post anything to his wall about the interview because, well, now that the cat's out of the bag that we want to interview Scott McNeil, obviously, there's no secret in our next, interview, yeah. if we ever get it. But
what were you saying, Mr. Wilson?
We have asked him, and we've even asked his coworkers, or previous coworkers, colleagues, if you will, to get in touch with him. Yeah. So I don't think it's a secret, but I've seen his wall. Once he friended me, you can get in there and see it. And I had no idea that there was 5,000 fangirls, who probably weren't born when Beast Wars and Beast Machines came out. But they all want to, they all want to be a fan of the guy who did Wolverine.
I've sent him numerous messages on, private messages on Facebook. So
yeah. I'm sure he gets 1,000 a day.
I sent him one earlier when his little thing showed he was online, not idle. So I don't know if he got it.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't answer the chat. So
yeah. We'll find a way at some point, hopefully before the 30th episode of the show, which will be the final episode. I think we are just going to get right into the episodes.
Long-range recon report. This kitty's keen sense of discovery has uncovered a Mondo stasis pod, but it's thoroughly thrashed. It plowed into a big load of residual energon, and it's branded with a big, bad-looking X.
Just hang on. I'm on my way. Silverbolt, you're with me.
Primus help us all if that thing survived. A big stasis pod? A big soldier. Yes.
Black Arachnia, Boss Manator, prepare for a recruitment drive. Whatever this protoform is, I want it flying the flag of the Predacons, not the Maximals.
Always eager to welcome a new comrade in arms.
yes. But I spin them larger.
So, the treacherous female is undertaking a journey. How dangerous. Especially if I catch her first.
Perhaps it did expire.
What is this thing, Big Bot?
The dark secret of Axelon's journey. It was originally an attempt to replicate Starscream's mutant indestructible spark with a Maximal.
Indestructible? Afraid not.
Well, it was a mistake to even try. Though brilliant, it was hopelessly treacherous and incapable of being recycled. It was put on the Axelon for what reason, Optimus? To dump it somewhere far, someplace barren.
First up today is Bad Spark. The original air date is February 22nd, 1998, and it was written by Greg Johnson. What is the mystery of Protoform X? In the jungle, there lies a single oversized stasis pod with a seemingly dead transmetal inside. Optimus Primal and Megatron both know that this prize must be theirs. But can any Maximal or Predacon stand against the might of the deranged Transformer contained within that pod? Okay, Rampage premieres here. Which, hey. Yeah, is it's kind of obvious. Waspinator Splat Alert! Cheetor got him. let's see. Wow, Energon Storming Tornado. That was a cool Energon storm.
We ain't in Kansas anymore.
Exactly. I love Rampage's voice, but the character in general, not so much.
What? I'm not sure why. What do you mean by that?
I just...
Because it's like a darker version of Tarantulas.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I mean, at least it's not another spider, but a crab I can deal with. But I've never really liked the character.
See, I don't really see him as a Tarantulas. Tarantulas is more of a mad scientist who's constantly trying to do his own thing. Whereas, you know, with Rampage, he's more of a, I don't know. I think I read he was described as like Hannibal Lecter.
Well, yeah. He is, but he's got the appearance of a darker Tarantulas.
Yeah.
Like the physical form in robot mode.
The robot mode, yeah.
Oh, just from the legs sticking out the back?
No, the face.
The legs, the face, the whole kind of structure of how he is, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see, Cheetor's hands / cat head are his gun. That's kind of funny, but at the same time, kind of corny. I mean, I love Cheetor, but when I first saw that, I was like, wow.
Well, handguns, cat tail.
Cheetah fart.
Right. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Cheetah fart.
Don't even remind me. I specifically did not write that down here because it's just like, all right, yeah, blow one off.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, yeah, I've been meaning to blow one off for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, you know, that reminds me, though, he's blowing one off because he's got Energon.
Build up,
right.
Yeah.
They don't get the little...
Little what?
The little electrical what? Thing that kind of shocks their body now that they're transmetal. They just blow off.
Yeah, but no, I was surprised to see that there's actually Energon around, because I thought it was all boiled off when the moon exploded.
They said most of it.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
most of it
was either destroyed or converted.
Yeah, but I just thought it was strange that, you know, Cheetor was fluxing, you know, even in a transmetal body. It's like, shouldn't he be immune? I mean, first of all, why is there Energon around? You know, shouldn't either it should be stable Energon, which doesn't affect them, or it should have been burned off. And then secondly, shouldn't he be immune in this transmetal body? I mean, I could see Dinobot being affected, or you know, Rhinox, but
yeah,
you know, White Store, that didn't make any sense.
Let's see. Rampage is the first triple changer in the cartoon. Well, I guess you could count Rat Trap with his wheels, but not really.
No, I think all the transmetals have a third vehicle mode.
Well, I mean, Cheetor has his jets, Rat Trap has his wheels, and Primal doesn't have a third. Primal only has two.
This is the surfboard.
Surfboard, but I mean,
yeah.
You know, Rampage actually physically, he physically changes his crab mode into another completely different mode.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just one thing. It's his gun. It's the treads thing. There's like three or four pieces that move around for him to become an entirely different mode, whereas Rat Trap, all he does is just put his wheels down. I mean...
Well, he puts the wheels out, pulls his four legs in. Yeah. Basically the same thing as like Tarantulas. Pulls his legs up, puts the wheels down. But I think because Rampage is a bigger toy, that he has a little more wiggle room. And I say bigger toy because you can tell the tank mode here, the tank mode being displayed is just a ploy to sell the toys. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of purpose for that. He could have easily just pulled his big-ass gun in robot mode.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, it's kind of cool the way they did the rotating viewfinder. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm not entirely sure if that was really necessary to show unless, oh, look, kids, this is what he does in toy mode.
Yeah. I got two more here, and then that's pretty much it that I have for this episode. Energon Blade wielding Megatron. Oh my god, that is artwork for this episode. Holy crap. I love that image. That was so awesome.
He's got the, you know, when he said that, he's like, computer, create a blade. You know, blah, 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 scimitar or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought he wanted like a sword. And then he whips out a scalpel. And I was like, oh, man, this is not going to end well.
No. Surgery.
Yes.
Exactly.
My surgical strike.
Love surgery.
And then, welcome, Rampage, my new servant, to the Beast Wars!
Yeah, they tried to go for epic there. I don't know if they pulled it off.
I think they did, because holy crap, yeah.
I like the whole... Yeah,
in the other part that he said.
What did he say?
Welcome to the Predacons, Rampage. You shall be an honored member, so long as you never forget one important fact about your new life. It's mine.
That does rule.
Yes, it does.
And then he crushes his spark.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was cool was that, you know, this is the first time we've seen him extract a spark.
Yep.
Which is, I don't know if he got the whole thing. It looks like he got the whole thing, but
half.
It's half of it.
Yeah, it looks like the whole thing, but I think he only got half. But now you project this out to Beast Machines, and he extracts a planet full of sparks.
Yep. You
know, but he perfected it after the fact.
Yeah, he sneaks into everyone's house with his little scalpel.
That was only the council. Then he used the new way, the extractors.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know if he had like a virus that did the whole planet or what, but
oh, he did. He created it in season 3.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of interesting foreshadowing.
Yes. What did you have for this one, Steve?
Alrighty then. This is the first one where Silverbolt and Black Arachne actually start appreciating each other, although they don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tarantulas is found to be actually scared of something when Rampage dismembers him.
Oh, yeah.
disarmed him.
Yes, literally. And every other piece of his body. Yeah, they did intend on Rampage being Hannibal Lecter-ish.
Yeah.
Or more so at the end, but they cut that out. What was it? They allude to the fact that, you know, Protoformax was an attempt to create a duplicate of Starscream's indestructible spark, which references G1, Starscream's ghost, and possession. It explains that that's probably why Starscream's records were sealed and no one could actually find out anything about him.
Yeah. It also represents, because the way that Primal says it was a experiment to reproduce Starscream's indestructible mutant spark. So you could also count it as a reference to the mutant heads of the Beast Wars toys.
Those are actually battle masks.
Yeah, it might be stretching a little bit. Yeah.
That was the original intention, and then Mainframe chose not to use them because they found them to be ugly. So.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have real faces.
Yeah.
That was like I don't know what that series was supposed to be. I can't remember the name of it, but
Transmorphers.
Where it was where Beast Machines ended up.
Machine Wars?
No, not Machine Wars. That was a KB Toys thing.
Oh.
It was that other series that was never produced.
Oh, Transtech?
Yes. It almost was like a Transtech look before Transtech existed.
Oh.
I mean, kind of.
We find out later that if you're not pretty enough, they blow you up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Many, many times. Like Waspinator.
I was referring to Transmutate, but yeah.
Yeah. The end of the day.
Different episode.
This also shows Dinobot talking to Primal about how, you know, they should attack, and Rhinox throwing a couple retorts back to Dinobot, and then Dinobot ends up hooking up a machine to his side, transferring something, which it doesn't ever tell until Season 3, technically. It doesn't actually fully reveal it, but you can kind of get the gist of what happened with him transferring something to the Sentinel computer.
Yeah.
Well, the little tube coming out of his arm?
Out of his chest?
Yeah, and I was wondering, what is that for? What is that doing?
That could explain something that happens about his character for Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole Sentinel thing and...
Oh, I got it.
Yes.
Nah.
That's obviously where he got the personality and the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Dinobot had a, you know, basically a line where he said, "It may yet be up to me," as he's doing this. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? Is he referring to something else? Or, I mean, I wasn't sure if he was foreshadowing Code of Hero, or...
Yeah, that's what he was.
Okay, because, I didn't understand it. He's hooked up to a machine, and he's saying, "It may be up to me." What does that mean? You know, what was he referring to? And they didn't really explain it in this episode.
No, but it's revealed in the next episode.
Oh, okay.
Overall, good, but kind of creepy episode.
Yeah,
very, very creepy. What about you, Michael? What do you got?
I like the damage models on Black Arachne and Silverbolt.
Yep.
I love it when they trash characters and then they you know, give them nicer damage models.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. I like Protoform X, but I was wondering what happened to Protoforms A through W. You know, I think it would be cool to see, you know, where those went to and... you know, how the indestructible spark program mutated them. I mean, I'm surprised there's not a whole line of slash fiction about, you know, Protoform K or something.
I do like the scene that they go and they show back in the past of them restraining Protoform X before sealing him in there, and you see Primal's original face, and you see two robots which are kind of insinuated to be like Rhinox and Rat Trap.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't tell who that was supposed to be. I just assumed it was generic bots.
If you read the Dawn of Futures Past, they even allude to some of that in there.
Hmm. Neat. I like the way that they, the you know, Megatron had Black Arachnia bugged, and they would, yeah, they would keep, you know, switching the scene back to the Predacons, and they were literally sitting in the dark listening to a monitor.
Yeah, it was like a talk show.
Yeah, it's like on
old-time
like a
radio.
1920s radio. I was reminded of, you know, again we're gonna go there, but I was reminded of a scene in the Rocky Horror Picture Show where they were the Magenta and Columbia were eavesdropping on Janet, and they said, you know, they have the line that, where they both say, "Tell us about it, Janet." And I'm watching Megatron, you know, in the dark, you know, huddled over the radio, thinking about that scene. But,
I don't know if you noticed this, but after Megatron bugged Black Arachnia, it shows underneath his hand, underneath his chair.
Yeah, there was a spider bug there.
Yeah, there was a spider bug from Tarantulas bugging Megatron.
Look, it was funny because he just said, "Oh, spiders will weave their webs, but I spin mine bigger." And just as he says that, you know, Tarantulas is poning him. Like, "Pwn! Gotcha!"
Yeah.
Right under his you know, command chair.
Yeah, except I think Megatron kind of lets him do it because if, because he knows Tarantulas has great potential for usage later, as revealed in the last two episodes of Beast Wars.
Yeah, yeah. And the only last thing I had noted was the Maximals may not be as noble and virtuous as, you know, let's say Silverbolt. You know, they may not be as Autobot-ly as the Autobots, if you will. The fact that the Axalon has a dark secret. You know?
So they were Predacon-ly.
Possibly, yeah. Well, no, it's just like, you know, they're supposed to be the good guys, and yet they have these illegal medical experiments that they're dumping off on uncharted planets. You know, that seems kind of twisted.
Yeah.
Not very Autobot-ly. But, you know, it's like, well, have they lost their way? It kind of reminds me of Transformers Animated, where, you know, you've got Ultra Magnus, and he's got to make these hard decisions like, you know, do we perform medical experiments on Autobots to create jets or combining jets, or, you know, how do we maintain our dignity and yet fight a war? And not easy questions, they're decisions that have to be made, but this is the first time that they've actually brought that up in Beast Wars, that maybe so. The Maximal leadership may not be as Autobot-ly, you know, or may not be as noble as you would expect them to be, being the good guys, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe they're just savages.
Savages. Oh, and another first. This is the first time they bring up Primus.
Yep.
Rhinox said, "Primus, help us."
Yep.
Yeah, they took it from the ATT threads.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. But that, yeah, so I thought that was interesting. And, you know, 20 years later, there would be a Primus toy.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. But, yeah, overall, I thought it was an interesting episode, a nice introduction to Rampage. I think it would have been interesting if they would have pursued his Hannibal Lecter persona a little more. I mean, they basically showed that he has no problem dismembering people and throwing their parts around, and, you know, like almost like a predator, right? You know, they come in and skin them and then hang their arms and legs from trees.
Well, would have been cool to hear him do the Hannibal Lecter thing where he goes.
I think that was in the original script.
That would have been cool as hell.
He says it later.
Yeah.
I want to say in Transmutate, he actually says something like, "I'm going to eat your brain with fava beans" or something.
No, he's like, "Come here, Tarantulas, I have something for you."
Okay, no, okay. On that note, we are moving on.
Thank you.
There's got to be something we can do.
He's too far gone, even for stasis lock. Well fought, my friend. You saved the valley. You saved the lives of those who live here, and of those who are still to come.
Then there is nothing to regret. Like I said, you're just a blasted slag-spouting Saurian, but it's nice to know where you stand. Upwind of you for preference, Ermin. Tell my tale to those who ask. Tell it truly. The ill deeds, along with the good. And let me be judged accordingly. The rest is silence.
He lived a warrior and died a hero. Let his spark join the Matrix, the greatest of Cybertron.
Is Code of Hero. Special Cartoon Network preview March 9th, 1998. Regular syndication premiere April 25th, 1998. And it was written by Ian Ware. Living his presence on prehistoric Earth strategically, Megatron employs the Golden Disk to pinpoint how he will change the future to rewrite the timeline and ensure the Predacon rule. Dinobot learns of this and gives his all to stop the Predacons from incinerating the valley from which the humans are destined to evolve. Okay, first of all, as much as it hates to pain me to say this, yay, Dinobot won. He's in the Hall of Fame. Let's move on. and, okay, we
I
all
voted
know
for him
that,
every day, too.
What?
I did, too.
Wait, what?
I voted for him every day.
Whatever.
On the, voted, yeah, I voted for him. You voted for him. David Willis voted for him.
Jay Wyatt.
No, I think he voted for Swindle, but anyway. Okay, we all know that this is easily the best episode out of Season 2. However, Dinobot holding a pistol in beast mode is just strange.
Well, there was that... Oh, there was that scene, and I forget the episode now, but, you know, where it's like the Old West, where he's basically coded in weapons and ammo.
No.
That was awesome.
My note says no. Yes, it was. I agreed. But he was in robot mode. My note says... Him holding a pistol in beast mode is strange.
Oh, yeah. But he does have opposable thumbs, so I think he can get away with it.
Jesus Christ. Dinobot loves riding transmetals. Because he forces Tarantulas to drive him to Megatron or something.
I'll need a ride.
Yeah.
Come, my faithful steed.
Waspinator splat alert. Dinobot stomps on his head.
Dinobot stomps on his head?
Yeah.
He stomps on everybody's head.
I thought Waspinator got his head blown off by the Rampage barrel.
That's later.
Oh, okay, because I thought that was funny. I had alluded to this last week before I basically wasn't able to record, but that scene where Dinobot shoves Waspinator's head in the Rampage's gun barrel, it reminded me of Hancock, where he's in prison and he says, "Your head is going in his ass."
God.
And then they keep pushing and pushing, and finally he's like, "Are you sure you want to ride this train?" And they're like, "Oh yeah."
I am so glad I never saw that whole movie because ugh. God.
That was a great movie.
No.
That was the only. I think that was the only time he actually had to shove someone's head up another person's ass, but it was fun. I sent you the clip, too. You should probably.
Yeah, I know. I watched it, unfortunately, and I.
Oh, is it funny?
I think I've lost some brain cells.
Oh, dude, I laughed so hard. when he did that. He's like, are you sure you want to ride this train? And they're like, oh, yeah. And the funny thing is there's like a crowd of convicts around him, and they're all like, we're going to kick his ass. Yeah. And then he shoves the guy's head at the other guy's head, and the other guys are all standing around like throwing up.
Yep. So Dinobot always gets good shots in on Megatron. Ever since we've started reviewing this show, ever since the very first episode, whenever these two are going at it in fist fighting, Dinobot always gets in the good shots.
Yeah, he's, well, I want to say he's probably the biggest of the Maximals, so if anyone's going to stand toe-to-toe with Megatron, it's going to be him.
Yeah. Dinobot takes the golden disc out as he dies. Dot, dot, dot. This battle reminds me so much of TFTM.
Really?
The whole battle with him and the Predacons. Him against all the Predacons? That doesn't remind you of... I mean, obviously, it's Dinobot's not a truck, but, I mean, it's basically Optimus going down the ramp, you know, running thrust over on his grill and everything else and jumping up and shooting everybody.
I can see how you could equate that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the whole reason why I equate it is when he dies, when Dinobot dies and he does his I-beam thingy with the disc, it reminds me of Prime, you know, crouching and then taking his two fists and just slamming Megatron.
Never!
Yeah. And then my final note for this one was, oh, Dinobot dies a hero.
Yeah. Hence the title.
Yep. And we need to talk about the title, though, because everybody calls it different things. It is Code of Hero. It's not Code of a Hero. It's not Code of the Hero. It's Code of Hero. Three words.
Yeah. Who else cried when Dinobot died, huh?
Not me.
Right here. I cried. I shed a tiny tear. That's the equivalent of my openly weeping.
I think it was awesome that Primal and Cheetor did a flyby.
Yeah. No, well, the Flyers did a flyby. I mean, he had a noble funeral.
Yeah.
It was nice. And I was thinking as he was being dissipated into the ether, you know, what Rhinox had said about, you know, when a spark is extinguished, the universe weeps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very poignant. I thought they did it very well. They killed him off in a good way. His death had purpose, and you know, they gave him a nice send off. And he had a great sunset scene.
Yep.
He's like, now I go down to meet my fate, and then behind him is the sunset. Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
What did you What do you got for this one, Steve?
Alrighty then. I like how they showed Dinobot's quarters once more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With the skin.
Yes. Can't forget about the skin. I like that Dinobot, you know, like you guys said, had the gun and rode Tarantulas and basically ended up getting shot anyway. You know, they had that awesome scene of Dinobot in front of the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As he's watching awesome. Megatron blow up the mountain clip and show that he knows that Megatron can change the future, so he has to basically put a ringer in the whole effect.
Yeah. He says, now I have no choice.
Yep. And he was the only one close enough, so of course he's going to be the one that gets screwed.
That's how he wanted it, though.
Yeah, he wanted to go down destroying everyone in his path.
Yeah, I mean, he was ready to kill himself at the beginning of the episode. I mean, he knew he was going to die, one way or the other.
He knew at the last episode. He knew he was going to have a final stand.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he knew it was coming. But then, you know, he basically said, okay, it's all on me. I'm doing it. Which, yeah, I mean, died a hero.
Yes. I like all the carnage that Dinobot inflicted upon all the Predacons, basically shoving all their own weapons into each other.
Your head, his ass,
No. Anyways, no. I would much rather prefer you start doing the Team Rocket references versus that. I just thought of something that Steve was bringing up with the forest battle here. You could also equate this to, unfortunately, to Revenge of the Fallen, where Optimus Prime is going against all the Decepticons.
Kind of. Only this was much more epic.
Well, true.
Because this lasted all episode, whereas Prime's lasted all of 5 minutes.
They didn't bring him back to life 5 minutes later. Yeah.
True.
They didn't climb aboard a teleporting English jet, in order to save him. So.
True.
Yes. I like where Quickstrike goes up to Dinobot and goes, "What's a warrior without weapons?" And then he says, "A warrior still," and then proceeds to beat his ass instead of zapping him.
beat his ass with no weapons.
Yeah.
Yes. I like where Megatron came up to Dinobot and basically mocked him, saying, "Face it, your old technology, obsolete. What can you do?" And then Dinobot smacks his stick after he beat Megatron with a stick and did nothing. He smacks his stick into a rock and then knocks Megatron on his ass, takes the golden disc, destroys it with his last ounce of energy.
Yep.
As the Maximals come to him. The little scene between Rattrap and Dinobot, you could see their gay love unwinding in the middle of everybody.
Oh, damn.
God.
Yikes. Talk about
yes, I went there.
I know, gay love. Come on, man. They're just comrades in arms.
Yeah, I know. Well, they had those close moments all season and all last season, so.
Odd couple moments, not so much,
debatable.
I want to break out into this for real quick, but when I was in line to talk to Scott McNeil at BotCon, there was a person behind me named Carla. Her screen name was Lady Jet 2, but she writes slash fiction for Transformers Animated, and she was telling me the story, and I thought it was very interesting and very well thought out, up until the point where she told me that Prowl and Jazz were gay lovers. And then I went, what? I think you just lost me. So no, not that I have anything against, that type of thing in its own context, but I don't think that Transformers should be doing that.
They've been doing it since G1. There's 4 G1 Transformers that are gay together.
Stop it.
Inferno and what's his name? Inferno and Red Alert and Hoist and Grapple.
Inferno and Kicker. What?
No, that's Armada.
No, that's Energon.
Whatever. God.
Oh God.
Well, they were always in caves together. Whatever.
Talk about beating in the closet.
No, they're beating in the cave. Anyways,
suffice to say, they shouldn't have gender at all, let alone be gay. That's all
exactly.
I'm saying.
Exactly. But then they had Optimus Primal's eulogy for Dinobot of "He lived a warrior, died a hero, let his spark join the matrix of the greatest of Cybertron."
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool of Primal.
Yeah.
It
was very well done. He had a noble.
Yes. Another thing I noticed, and this was a technical error, Dinobot's funeral, Rattrap, like when they're disintegrating his body, Rattrap is in his pre-transmetal body, but his head is transmetal.
I didn't even catch that.
I noticed that before the wiki. I noticed that a long time ago because we were sitting there. We're like, why is he classic Rattrap?
He likes that look better.
but yeah, I think they did that on purpose.
Really?
To some extent.
Oh, just so that he would have his last few moments with Dinobot as his original form.
Yeah, I guess Bob Forward. I couldn't believe that the production team, who had viewed the scene hundreds of times, still couldn't get it right.
And not catch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Use the wrong model. I don't know. That's quite retarded, in my opinion.
Right.
one of the best quotes from this episode, Rhinox looks at Primal and says, "Remember that transwarp cell explosion?" And Primal glares at him, and he's like, "Okay, stupid question."
Yeah.
You know that one that blew your ass up? Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah. He's like, "Never mind, I think I'll go hide in my closet now." I like the fact that the human took Dinobot's tool and beat the snake.
Yep.
And then went...
Yeah, the human was actually the human, or the early human, I guess, the humanoid, or whatever the hell he's called. Actually, that's Gary Chalk.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I thought that Gary Chalk did the primate voice.
Yep.
But this wasn't the first appearance of the proto-human, though.
No.
This is kind of weird. I read this off the wiki, though. It says, Megatron orders the destruction of the prehumans to prevent the development of mankind. It says that they're insinuating most of these humans were probably Witwickies from this tribe.
I thought it was interesting that Dinobot single-handedly brought about the Stone Age.
Yeah.
The actual use of stone tools.
There you go.
I'm surprised he didn't, like, say, "This is a wheel, and this is how you create one."
Oh, but wait, that's coming up later in Season 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Cheetor.
Okay.
Yes.
Professor Cheetor.
So we have the creation of the instigation of the Stone Age of mankind and the creation of the wheel.
Yep.
All by Maximals.
Yep.
What else you got for this one, Steve?
What is it? Silverbolt, Blackarachnia, and Inferno appear, but do not talk.
Huh.
Whatsoever.
That's a first for Inferno.
He likes to talk, even if it's dumb.
Yes, my queen.
Go back to your digging hole.
Maybe they thought Scott had enough lines in this one already.
Probably. He exceeded his quota for the episode.
Yeah.
Because Dinobots is his main man there. But they took a lot of quotes from Shakespeare for Dinobot in this one.
Yeah.
And one other thing I do have is Rampage crushes a butterfly, which is practically like...
cliche by now?
Yeah, well, that, and it's kind of like referencing A Sound of Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
Altering the timeline. Which, they keep using things like this throughout the Beast Wars and Beast Machines.
This is like the third or fourth time. Use a flower.
Yes.
Yeah. But the butterfly gets scorched. Yeah, the butterfly dies, and it's like, oh. You know, it's symbolic.
That was Waspinator's cousin, Butterfina.
Butterinator.
Butterinator?
Oh, Duke could use that for something. Make the whole town of Danville slippery. Anyways, that's a...
Yeah, that's right.
It's a Phineas and Ferb reference. Never mind.
To cover the entire tri-state area! And butter! Well lubed the populace. Yeah.
What do you got, Michael?
Not much else, to be honest. I really dug the Shakespeare, quoting Shakespeare for the last time. Which made me wonder. I don't remember how Season 3 went, but I know that, like, Dinobot's clone comes back, or Transmetal Dinobot comes back. Does Transmetal or Transmetal 2 Dinobot, I forget which one, but did they quote Shakespeare, or is it just...
No.
Yeah.
I don't think he does, no.
No.
So not nearly as interesting.
They kind of switched from Shakespeare to Primus, so...
I like the disc reader claw that Megatron uses to read the golden disc.
Yeah.
At this point, it kind of makes me wish I had actually bought that extension for the toy. I want to say the Lucas Brothers or Unicron.com produced that. Yep.
They did.
Where they actually, they had the reader extension and the discs. You could buy those, and And I remember thinking, eh, I'm not a big fan of Beast Wars. I don't have that toy. I probably don't need that. You know, I'm kind of wishing I'd bought one now. And I was surprised that Tarantulas made an appearance here, since in the last episode he was systematically dismantled by Rampage.
Yeah, that means nothing. Look at what he pulled himself from before.
Yeah, but usually, and again, these weren't written by the same person, but usually they have some type of continuity where they'd show the character coming out of the CR chamber or something.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. But that's pretty much it. I mean, I really like this episode. I don't think that Dinobot as a character would have chosen to die for the humans. I don't think that was real. I mean, they said it before that the Predacon Code of Honor is not the same as the Maximal Code of Honor.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have chosen to die for somebody else. But the fact that he got to take out pretty much all of the Predacons in the process was exactly what he wanted to do.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, if Primal had been you know, any less of a Maximal, he would have called a full-on attack of the Predacon base instead of having a funeral for Dinobot. It would have been like, what? They're all busted up, probably, you know, hiding in a CR chamber right now. Let's take their asses out now. That's what Dinobot would have done if anyone else had been killed instead of him.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what I was thinking. I like the episode.
Yeah, it is a very, very good episode.
Very well written, very well foreshadowed in previous episodes. It all came together here.
Yeah, it did. All right, so we are going to move on.
Magnificent.
Man, I am telling you, the things coming out of these pods is just getting weirder and weirder.
We should welcome what is different, not fear it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Sunshine. But this ain't exactly a tea party we got breaking out here.
They are your enemies. Join with me and destroy them.
He lies. Predacons will only use you. We extend the hand of friendship.
That creature is the property of the royalty!
Transmutate. Do not speak. None shall hurt you now. Come with me. Come. I will protect you. I am your friend. Your only friend.
We must save it.
Save it? Oh, get real, Bolt. We're lucky to be in one piece.
Optimus. Thank the Matrix.
And finally up today, we have Transmutate. The Special Cartoon Network preview was March 10th, 1998. The regular syndication premiere date was May 2nd, 1998. It was written by Christy Marks. Yay, Gem and the Holograms. Silverbolt and Rattrap discover another stasis pod, but this one contains a strange, malformed Transformer, unable to speak clearly and lacking the specs of a scientist or a warrior. The Transmutate is both puzzled and puzzling. Silverbolt sees in the simple machine a kindred spirit and an innocent. Predacon Rampage sees something as well, another one-of-a-kind freak alone as he is. Okay, now I gotta get this out of the way first. When I originally bought these three seasons from Rhino and I did my 24-hour, 36-hour marathon watch of the entire Beast Wars cartoon, all three seasons within like a day and a half. When I got to Transmutate, I was like, what the hell is this, and why the hell am I watching it? However, over subsequent watchings, I actually have seen what the episode is, and I will allude to that a little bit later in my notes, but the first note I had was, oh, Rampage, what a fool you are trying to steal back your spark.
Yeah, you know Megatron never gave it back.
Yep.
He had to try, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he was testing him still at that point. He hadn't learned to accept it.
Yeah. I love Sentinel's urgency in the voice for the Transmutates pod. Just the way Ian pulled that off with Sentinel was just awesome. I mean, because I've never heard Sentinel talk like that before. Silverbolt makes a reference to Dark Designs episode. I have no friggin' clue what reference it was, but I know he makes a reference to it.
How did he make a reference?
It was after the Sentinel's urge. I don't know. I take notes as I watch the episode, so my notes are pretty much from beginning to end of each episode, so I have no clue. It happened right before Rat Trap says, "What in the name of my great Aunt RC is going on here?"
Yeah.
Okay, Tigatron's gone, so thus Silverbolt takes up saying, "Thank the Matrix." Oh, God. Now, this is what I said earlier. When I viewed this episode again multiple times, I am a handicapped person, and I was peer pressured to no end when I was in elementary school. I was picked on all the time and everything else, and, you know, peer pressure is a bitch. This has to be their version of the episode in every other cartoon TV show of how things differ from what we normally are and treated. It also is a peer pressure episode from both factions. You have Rampage on one hand and Silverbolt on the other, pulling Transmutate in both directions. And I think that, you know, now that I've watched this a couple of times, that I really do like this episode. I have to make a complete 180 opinion from what I had before. Because, again, at the time when I originally first saw this, during that marathon watch, I was so overloaded with action. When I got to this one, I'm like, oh, God, what is this? What are they doing? I don't know. No, allow me. Ooh, crab squish just as good as spiders.
I was going to say we should mark our calendars here because Michael has willingly switched one of his, you know, ill-planned, harebrained opinions with a well-thought-out, educated opinion.
Shut up.
And then he promptly rejects the compliment. So
back to... Well, because he always bitches at me all the time about my changing opinions or my initial opinions. Anyway,
well, no, your opinion is like, damn it, I'm right. And you're blatantly wrong, but it's like, I'm right because that's my opinion. And it's like, okay, well, now you're changing your opinion so that you're more right, which, you know, shows growth.
Yeah.
Proud of you, young man.
Young? I'm only 7 years younger than you. Holy crap. Old fart. Silverbolt makes a very good point, and again, Rampage wants it to be evil. I don't know. It's this whole thing between the two of them, between Silverbolt and Rampage. And it is basically peer pressure.
Yeah, what kills me is that Transmutate's basically too dumb to go either way.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm not really... I mean, it's basically like almost like animal. It's pure neutral. It's like, I'm not going to be evil, and I'm not going to be good either. I'm just too dumb.
Wait. Animal as in Muppet animal, or just an animal in general?
Muppet animal?
Yeah, animal. Animal blade drums!
No, not like that.
Okay, I wanted to clarify.
No, it's no animal as in like, you know, like a dog or a puppy.
Okay, you know? Okay. Well,
puppies,
you should have
said that. They're neither good nor evil. They're just, you know, they're neutral. They're not gonna bite you because they're mean. They're gonna bite you because you're being mean to them. That type of thing.
Okay. Yeah. I know I shouldn't have made this note, but I did because it did happen. Transmutate, go boom.
Splat alert, first and last.
shit. Oh, damn. That's so wrong.
Splat alert to end them all.
Yeah.
What I was wondering is, I'm like, we're jumping right to the end here, you know, but did Transmutate sacrifice itself to save Silverbolt and Rampage from each other, or did it just happen to land in the wrong spot?
No, it did it to save them. It didn't like the fact they were fighting.
Yeah. Because at the end...
Daddy, don't fight. I save you.
I forgot to write this down, but at the end, on a subsequent reviewing of this episode, it says, after he goes boom and it's just his head, he looks at Silverbolt and says, friend good. And then he looks at Rampage and says, friend dark. And then he goes, I hurt. And then he goes, clunk, and his neck, like, snaps. Or his head falls off, or something happens. I don't really remember.
Well, I mean, if you stumble in front of a car, you're going to hurt. You
know? Yeah.
If you stumble
in front of a moving car, it'll hurt worse.
Especially if Steve's driving.
Yeah. Did you stumble in front of the moving car, or did you purposefully throw yourself in front of it in order to save your friend who was going to be run over if you didn't? That's the question. And I kind of got the impression that Transmutate was just kind of hovering down the side of the cliff and landed in between the missiles. It wasn't like, you know, I'm performing a noble sacrifice. I don't think that there was enough intelligence there to perform a noble sacrifice.
I think there was enough. It just couldn't actually relay what it was thinking, but subconsciously I think it did it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I could go either way, but I just didn't think that. And then at the end, again, it's confirming, hey, I have a friend that's good and I have a friend that's bad, but I'm neither, and I can't be.
Yeah. I have two more notes and that's it. Sublu did an awesome job voicing Transmutate, which, granted, there isn't that much of a voice there, but the fact that, first of all, she's been the voice director of Transformers since God knows how long. Second of all, it's nice to actually see her in the cartoon again. Of course, well, you can count animated with RC, but barely. My final note was, this episode barely featured Megatron, if at all, except for in the beginning of the episode.
I like where he had the ball that split apart and did his little holographic.
Yeah.
And holographic. He circled, he did that holographic head thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, let me talk to the freak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever he said. I thought that Paula Newstone did the voice for Transmutate, but then I looked online and saw that it was Sublu.
It's Sublu.
You can tell it's Sublu, though.
I thought it was either Venus Torzo or the other one. I didn't realize that Sublu like came out of retirement here to do a quick voice.
She came back and animated.
Well, no, but this was 10 years ago. I mean, she wasn't doing voice work anymore, as far as I know.
Yeah, she was in the directing for the most part, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she did voice casting and directing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and granted, she does a great job because we love everything she's done, and, you know, we love it when she comes back, but I just didn't hear this and say, oh, that's Sublu. I heard it and thought, wow, that must be Venus Torzo.
As much as I wanted, like everybody else wanted, animated season 4, thank God it kind of didn't happen, because if they brought Springer into it, oh my God, holy crap, don't get me started. Anyways, Steve, what do you have for this one?
Alrighty then. I like, of course, I like the reference that Rat Trap made to RC.
Yep.
Oh, so Sublu is in the episode.
Yes, considering she's in it. I also like the other clip he says about, man, I'm telling you, the things coming out of these pods are just getting weirder and weirder.
Yep.
I liked it when he said the nutty erector set took a walk.
Yeah. I like that too. I like the fact that, although on opposite sides and, completely not interested in anything other than Transmutate, Rampage and Silverbolt are both fighting over her. She's some kind of trophy.
Yeah.
Well, I think they were.
Oh,
they
you
were
be
both.
My mutated nuclear advanced wife.
I honestly didn't see the purpose in them really fighting over her. I say her because it's Subaru, not because it's supposed to have a particular gender. But
personally, I could have done without this episode. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but
yeah. I think we needed something between Code of Hero and the Agenda.
Well, yeah, they were trying to put something a little lighter for a character that you don't honestly give a rat's ass about.
And honestly, I honestly don't think it's a light episode, because this is, like I said before, this episode is dealing with a lot of peer pressure issues. You know, it's dealing with the fact that almost every single Maximal, except for maybe Optimus Primal, makes fun of Transmutate.
Which pisses off Silverbolt.
Yep.
Yeah. And again, Silverbolt being the most noble life form ever, it kind of makes you question how noble Maximals really are. You know, how Autobotly are Maximals in general.
I'm so sick of you using that damn word. I wish you had never fucking created it.
I had forgotten that I said that, and then you brought it up at one point, and you're like, oh, you create words. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? But now that you reminded me of it, I like it so much, I want to use it all the time.
Well, shit, you've been using it since TFG1.
I know. And that's the problem. That's the whole point of this whole podcast, is to get... I mean, yeah, I did the first 10 or so episodes, or, you know, 9 or so episodes of TFG1, and then I brought Steve on, and then episode 14 I brought Michael on, and then, like, the last... What?
I was going to say, no, you guys can't shut him up.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, you know, the whole point of The Beast Unleashed was to get the three of us back together to actually make it through an entire episode set of a podcast. Granted, Steve got killed one episode, but that doesn't really matter.
That happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Eventually, everybody gets killed, buried in the backyard, and resurrected by Megatron.
Yeah.
That's common.
Yeah. With Waspinator playing some strange... No, we're not going there. I just remember what the hell was for your play. Oh my god, no. I'm not opening that can of worms. Thank god I stopped myself there. Okay.
What else?
Shut up, Michael.
Causing a commotion. Because they are so awesome.
Yeah.
Alright. I think this is the first time ever in any show outside of Tooncast that I will do this.
You smug son of a...
You're the smug son of a bitch. Yes.
Okay.
Take it to the cleaners, TFG1 Mike.
There. Ha. Huh.
Oh, that was a little Rock Sugar there.
No, that wasn't Rock Sugar. That was Axelon feedback from when Rhinox went in Megatron's face.
Yes, oh, is that what that was?
I didn't forget that. That's why Rhinox became Tankor.
Okay.
See, now, that's the quick and witty I was talking about. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. What else for this one?
I got a little something.
Okay.
A little something. I dig the red fisheye lens vision for Transmutate. They kind of showed that off a little bit, where everything's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I dug that. I thought that was kind of cool. In the beginning, you see Megatron, and he's sleeping. But he's got something in his arm. And I'm like, what's in his arm? What is that? It's like a little tube or something, like he's feeding. I wasn't sure what it was. Maybe it was like an alarm to let him know if there's somebody sneaking up behind him.
It's poop in a bag.
Poop in a bag.
Ew.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is for you, Rampage.
Squish your soul.
No, you just rub it on his spark.
Talk about spreading DNA feces. Yuck.
He'll feel it later.
That's right. It'll soak in.
Oh God.
The transmutate face is just creepy.
Yeah.
It kind of, I don't know if Mike will pick up on this, but it kind of reminds me of Odo from DS9.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Orson's.
I mean, and that's just a creepy face to begin with, you know.
Mixed and with but the
you
Borg.
Put. Yeah, you put cold, dead red eyes in there and give it a creepy smile, and it's like, ugh, you were just fucked up looking.
You know what that looks like to me? A rejected what? Character model from Reboot.
Yeah, maybe. See, I've never seen Reboot. I might be the only Beast Wars fan who hasn't seen it.
I only saw the first season. I didn't see past that where it got all weird. But, the face of this character looks like one of the main female villains in Reboot.
Yeah, that's just creepy. Creepy face. I mean, it's a kind of weird, androgynous, kind of a, you know, not a very well-formed bronze statue type of thing. Yeah, just creepy Odo look.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, I was surprised that Megatron overlooked the power that Transmutate has just because it's ugly. It's like, yeah, the thing can do, that would be considered like an Energon Scream, right?
Yeah.
Almost like an EM pulse attack, where everything around it suddenly drops.
Or it's almost like a Night Scream.
I hate Night Scream. As much as I like Alessandro, whatever that guy's name is, who did the voice for him, I dig his work. I just don't like that character. To digress, you know, Megatron looks at this thing and says, "Ah, you're worthless, you know, because you're ugly, and or you're dumb, you know, that type
and
of
you
thing."
You can't transform.
And you can't transform. Yeah, and your mom addresses you funny. And I couldn't believe that Megatron would be so short-sighted, because he could have, you know, literally taken this you know, taken Transmutate and trained it to be a killing machine, and not just, you know, point it in one direction and say go kill, but like a almost like a Cobra Bat battle android trooper, you know, in the original tech specs for the Bat. It basically said they would drop these things off on the battlefield and it would kill everybody. It just keeps shooting at everything that moves until it gets blown up itself. And, you know, Megatron wouldn't even have to teach this thing to be bad. It just instruct it. I'm going to drop you in the middle of this battlefield and you just shoot at everything until it's all dead.
Oh, yeah. Cannon fodder. Yes.
Exactly. But, I mean, it was so powerful. And the fact that it was dumb as a brick would only play to his advantage, because it would be that much more manipulable.
Yeah.
Its personality would be that much more malleable. And I'm very, you know, Primal, I could see him going, oh, this is much too dangerous. This shouldn't be allowed to live. We have to put it down. Or in this
Didn't
case,
they
put it
say
in stasis.
That?
No, he wanted to put it in stasis lock.
Oh.
Which is basically the same as putting it down.
He would have just put it back in the pod and see what happens.
Well,
be like shaking up a Rubik's Cube or...
Yeah, put it in a working pod. They could have put it in stasis lock and kept it on ice for forever, I suppose. But it's the same as putting it down. It's a mercy killing. And, again, not very Autobot-ly to use that word to death, but you get the idea. But Megatron, on the other hand, does not have these noble tendencies. It's not a matter of what's the best thing for this creature or how do we do the most humane thing for it. As far as Megatron is concerned, it should be, how does it increase my power, and how can I use it as a weapon? And clearly, you know, you kick this thing in the teeth a couple times and then drop it over the side of the ship and let it land in the middle of a group of you know, Maximals, it's going to blow everything up. And then he waltzes in and cleans up the mess. And how he could miss this is just beyond me. Seeing as though in every other episode, he's one step ahead of everybody except Tarantulas.
I think I wanted to turn it into aluminum siding. melted down, of course.
My summer house needs new siding.
I needed to rebuild the side of my bathtub. Thank you very much.
Michael.
I think that's about it. Michael. That's all I had.
Doofenshmirtz house in the suburbs.
No, Doofenshmirtz is ex-wife's house in the hills. Or his ex-wife's house in the hills.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And they sing it, too. Doofenshmirtz, yep. Ex-wife's house in the hills.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for us. You're probably going to hear a couple of quotes. And then...
I have one more thing.
Oh shit.
Go ahead. Not so much pertaining to Transmutate, but... I got a message from Stefan Tarnowski.
Oh, yeah.
For pronouncing that right. And he quoted my favorite Megatron line on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Which it has to do with intelligent conversation. And I kind of like Steve to repeat it.
Okay.
Why do you always talk to yourself, Megatron?
I don't know the line all the way.
Because I have a penchant for intelligent conversation. Oh.
That? Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, remember what I said about quick and witty? Alright, you're losing it here.
Shut your pie hole, fool. Because I have a penchant for intelligent conversation. Yes.
Yeah. Unlike you two. I love that line. I think that's hilarious. And Stefan had quoted it wrongly. And I gave him hell over it.
Yes,
but
we will
yeah.
Beat you.
Yes, and apparently Stefan, however you say his last name, sorry Stefan.
I'm assuming it's Tarnowski.
Yeah, Tarnowski. Apparently he is a super fan of this show, and apparently he lives in Canada. And apparently because Apple and iTunes are dumb and they have different countries for their store. We can't see the review he wrote us. So, Stefan, if you will screen cap your review of the show and email it to me, tfg1mike@gmail.com, we will read it next time we do an episode.
And we will totally post it on the website just to prove that Canadians love us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, special shout-out to Stefan.
Yeah.
Tarnowski. You know, for his loving us because, you know, we enjoy being loved.
Yes. All right, so is that
I expected
now?
Steve to jump in here with, never mind.
Wait, no one. Steve to jump in with some Barney love?
Shut up. I love you. Shut up, bitch. I'm not done. Get down. Break it down. Do it. Yes.
Oh, you make me giggle.
Oh, chicka wow wow.
So, props to Stefan.
Okay.
You're the one.
That's all I got.
Chocolate panties. Yes.
Okay. And on that note, we'll be back after.
Stick him in his stew.
Shut up.
Sing Narwhal, Megatron.
No.
Narwhals, narwhals. Swimming in the ocean.
No. Okay, we're done with this. Christ. Oh, damn.
Make it stop.
Make it stop. This week. Make it stop.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
This is quote number one.
Remember that transwarp cell explosion? Okay, stupid question.
This is quote number two.
One lonely turncoat battling on against impossible odds. I'm almost touched. Fortunately, such moments pass quickly.
And quote number three.
What's a warrior without weapons, eh? A warrior still.
Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. As always, get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Again, if you live in any other country other than the United States, you must take a screen cap of it and email it to us. You can either email it to steve@geekcastradio.com or tfg1mike@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. Beast Unleashed is the show Twitter. TFG1Mike is mine. Michael, what is your Twitter?
Pecan CT Michael.
And Steve?
SCP-21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search GeekCast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast, and join us next time when we will be reviewing the final story, or the final three episodes from Beast Wars Season 2, that being The Agenda. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
Megatron, close the show.
Oops, I did it again.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.